or is that their last name? No, that's their last name. They're from Lesby. So welcome. I have been struggling over this message. Katrina will tell you that I've been fussing about it. I haven't been happy with it. So I think probably the best thing we can do is just ask the Holy Spirit to come and join us, okay? Yeah. Somehow I just come up with these ideas. I don't know where they come from. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we do come before you. We just ask that your Holy Spirit would come here, would come and be within us. We ask, Father, for your presence, that the words that come forward would be of you, that they would minister, that they would bless, they would encourage and edify. So, Father, we lift this up. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 All right, today we continue on with our series, a series that I've been calling this Living a Free, Victorious Life. And recall that when we started this whole thing, there were two key verses that I really wanted to point out to you. One we've been using pretty consistently. It's in 2 Corinthians. It's 3:17. Remember that you guys fill in the last one, remember? Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Oh, gee whiz. Okay. Let's do it again then. Okay, there. Thank you. NIV, thank you. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much for being so adaptable. Now, the other one we haven't been using so much, but I want to reintroduce it today. This one is in Galatians 5:1. It says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." It's important to remind ourselves that this thing that comes crushing down around us, the crushing weight of sin that comes upon us, is eating at us. It's destroying us from the inside, and it is binding us to a yoke of slavery. In this series, we've been comparing this quest that we're undertaking with this quest to break free of bondage with prisoners of war who are trying to escape from their enemy. And as I mentioned, that there are certain elements that are important as we go through this escaping process. First, there's the studious information gathering. Next, there's the careful planning. Then there's the precise execution. And through it all, there's the relentless determination that we have to undertake. And so far, through all of this that we have done up to this date, it's all been about information gathering. We haven't even gotten out of step one yet. We're still in the information gathering stage. We're about ready now to move into the planning stage. But before we do, we have one more bit of information that we need to be talking about. The next time, we're going to start talking about the planning part of it. Last time, I quoted from a book called The Art of War by Sun Tzu, an ancient Chinese general. And the quote was this: "If you know the enemy and you know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, then for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle." So today then, we're going to take some time to take a look at ourselves. We want to take a look at our own character. Okay? Now, taking a look at our own character is not the same as our identity in Christ. Our identity in Christ, in other words, who we are, is an established fact that's based on our decision to follow Christ. Our character, however, is indicated by what we do when no one else is looking. One speaks to the reality of who we are, based on the heavenly government to whom we are submitted. The other speaks to our mental and moral qualities. Put more simply, who we are in Christ is about our spirit man. But our character speaks more about our soulish qualities. Okay? Our character is evidenced by the things we do. Who we are is based on our relationship with God. Okay, so we're not talking now then about our identity. We're talking today about our character. Now, as I said before, a person's character is evidenced by what that person does when no one else is watching. So let's talk about what it is that we do when no one else is watching. What are the things that we struggle with when no one else is watching? What are the things that we do that we would not want anyone else to know about? That's the stuff that we're talking about today. Today we're going to try to learn a little bit more about ourselves so that we can wage war more effectively by considering our sins. Take a look at sins that we are painfully aware of. Take a look at sins that, you know, that we don't even consider to be sins, that we never even considered to be sins. I want to review habitual sins, destructive behaviors, negative thoughts, and irrational feelings. Now, I listed all the sins that might go, well, maybe not all the sins, but all the sins that I could think of that went along with some of these general categories. I'm going to review those here in a little bit. We all struggle with different things. We all have different sins. But there are three common elements to all of those sins. Three things that are common to all of it. First, our sins, they all have a root in a demonic spirit. Number one. Number two is they all have their entry point in our minds. Okay, and number three, they are all designed to keep us from fulfilling our purpose, from fulfilling our destiny in the kingdom of God. So this is what we're after then. Remember the scripture last time I preached that I alluded to was in Ephesians 6:12. It says this, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." See, our struggle is against demonic forces in a spiritual realm. So let us set the stage then. Okay, on one side, we have freedom. We have destiny in the kingdom. We have victorious living. We have our heart's desire. And we have the forces of God. On the other side, we have our fleshy, our sinful nature. And we have the forces of evil. The forces of darkness. And in the middle, we have the battlefield, which is our mind. This is the place where the drama is all played out. This is the place where our soul is fought over. And it's the place where our soul wars against itself. So it's in this context now that I want to take a look at our character. We are beings conflicted against forces in the heavenly realms and against our own souls, against our own self. Paul puts it this way in Romans 7. "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." I have to read that very slow because there are repeated words in the same sentence. I counted there. Two words are repeated four times in the same sentence there. Let me just read that one more time. "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do." Now, I kind of find this verse a little bit encouraging because here is a guy who saw Jesus. Paul had a powerful encounter with Jesus, and yet Paul still struggled with sin. So If a guy like Paul struggles with sin, I'm pretty sure that I'm probably going to be in that same boat. And probably you are all as well. We're going to have these struggles. We're going to struggle with weaknesses. We're going to discuss more about these weaknesses in a few minutes, particularly the ones that Paul had. The challenge before us now is to align ourselves with the Lord. We've already made the decision to be under the government and the kingdom of God. So now it's about aligning ourselves with the Lord. Now this is easy to say, but this is hard to do. I want to take a little time to go over and review some of the sins that I talked about, I alluded to, mentioned a few weeks, or I guess several weeks ago now. I want to review anything that fits into these general categories, the general categories of habitual sins, destructive behaviors, irrational feelings or negative thoughts. And I'm going to start with habitual sins. Now, I tend to think of habitual sins as these things that express themselves tangibly, external to the mind. Sins in this group include sins like pornography, other sexual sins, homosexuality, gambling, gluttony or overeating if you prefer, drug or alcohol abuse, overspending, foul or coarse language. I tend to classify these as kind of comfort sins. These sins tend to make us feel a little bit better. They tend to comfort us, at least, you know, for a little while anyway. We typically do them so that we can feel a little better. We typically do them so that we would kind of relieve our stress. And this kind of speaks to our character. But what exactly does it say about our character? Well, to me, it says that we need to engage in some vice to relieve our stress. But really, it doesn't really relieve our stress all that much, does it? Because in the long run, it really adds to our stress. Because once we commit this thing, then we are overcome with shame and guilt and more clarity or recognition of our own weaknesses. So there's two scriptures before we move on from this that I want to consider to help us. Psalm 68:19 says this, "Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens." Who daily bears our burdens. You know, there's a scripture that says that His mercies are new every morning. And I have found great comfort in that over the years. That no matter how much I messed up the day before, it's all a new day the next day when I get up. And the same is true of this verse. Doesn't matter how much we've messed up the day before, He's still there. He's still available to come and to bear our burdens all over again. The next verse is this. It's in 1 Peter 5, verse 7. It says this, "Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you." Cast all your anxiety upon Him. The context of this second scripture is specifically talking about sin. Now, how do I know this? Because of what it says in verse 8 and verse 9. It says in verse 8, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." Now, there's a couple points that we can take away from verse 8 and verse 9. First, we're encouraged not only to be alert, but to be aware of the conditions that are developing in our lives that can cause us to sin. I tend to sin in these areas that I've previously mentioned when over a couple of situations. First, when I become particularly frustrated with the circumstances of life. Second, when those circumstances of life are outside of my control. And finally, when I'm undertaking a new venture in life, a new venture that I'm not familiar with. This is the time when I personally have to be on the alert, when I have to be alert to what the enemy is trying to do. The second point is that others are undergoing these same kind of sufferings. They may not be the same suffering, but it's the same kind of sufferings. You know, as Christians, we tend to kick other Christians when they're down. You know, and a lot of times it's because they're doing a sin that we just can't relate to, a sin that we just don't understand. There are sins on that list that I named before with which I struggle. But there's one sin in particular that I don't understand at all. And I go, well, how can anybody have a problem with that? And at some point, I hate to admit this, but at some point I had even mocked people that struggle in that area. Until my wife brought me up short. She said, Mike, remember your own sin. It's no different. It's a different sin, but it's still all sin. And so with that, she was able to pierce me. But she was absolutely right. And I appreciate her challenging me in that way. What's important to remember here is that all of us do not struggle with all of these sins. But all of us struggle with at least one of these sins. And so therefore, we have to be unified to come and to support one another as we struggle through these things. Now, at some point soon, I'm going to be talking about an accountability group that I'm going to want to establish. The particulars aren't important right now because, frankly, I don't have all the particulars altogether. But it's going to be designed for this type of thing where those of us who struggle with a sin or sins can come together and support one another and hold one another accountable. Folks who understand. All right, I kind of drifted a little bit from my original point. We can take all of our burdens, all of our struggles to Him, and we can do so daily. He wants to daily take those burdens from us. Later, we're going to talk about how to work this out practically. Not today, but later we're going to talk about that. Today, we remember, we're just looking about seeing our character. So, if we are repeatedly then struggling in some area of habitual sin, it's probably because we are not casting our burdens down upon Him. We're probably not established in a close enough relationship with the Lord in which we can work together in partnership to help break some of those vices. One of the problems is we forget who we are in Christ. We forget that now we are not only in the kingdom of God, $20. We're not now only in the kingdom of God, but now we are part of the first family. Right? Now we're not only in the kingdom of God, but now we're in the house of the King. To me, that's incredibly encouraging. And just as we would do almost anything for our children, so the Lord will do almost anything for us, particularly if it means setting us free. Another $20. Yes, the orphanage and Ukraine is benefiting this morning. Okay. Let's shift over now to the next category, destructive behaviors. Now, some of these can be considered habitual sins as well. You know, these general categories don't always categorize, you know, as distinctly as I'd like. But destructive behaviors can include something like, I'm going to start with a heavy one. Spousal or child abuse. And such abuse can be either physical or emotional. Now, you could be either the one who inflicts the abuse, the abuser, and if you are one, you know it and don't deny it. Or you could also could be on the sinful side if you are the receiver, the abusee. Now, I say that very carefully to say that only this. If you're getting abused and or your children, then you know it as well. Don't deny it. And you have a responsibility to get you and your family out of that situation. Now, I say that. It's only sinful not because you're getting abused, only if you tolerate it and continue to stay in the situation because you're a child of God like everyone else. And you should not be abused that way. Okay, getting off the subject again. Listing the destructive behavior. Spousal or child abuse. Marriage or sex to overcome loneliness. Adultery. Suicide attempts. A condition known as self-injury. I guess that's been more prevalent these days. One I'm not too familiar with, but self-injury can include things like cutting or burning or scratching or beating oneself. General distribution of personal intimacy, say over the internet or something like that. Uncontrolled debt. Refusal to communicate. Uncontrolled anger or rage. Now, there may be more to these. These are just some of the ones that I've thought of. Now, what do these behaviors say about our character? In general, I think it says that we are missing something. There is a void there in our lives that we have been unable or unwilling to let the Lord fill. These are kind of comfort sins also in a way, because we do some of these behaviors in order to feel accepted or simply to make us feel better. It's like we're trying to fix something. But the problem is that this is a very short-term fix. The long-term fix means getting to know the ultimate comforter. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 says this, and on the first part of 4a, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. But the problem for us is that, you know, it's really a whole lot nicer when we have something with flesh on, you know. Our flesh tends to crave something tangible, something physical. Our spirit longs to connect with his spirit, but our flesh is warring against that thing. Next time we're going to be talking about a solution to this as well. But for now, remember that it is all in the mind that this war between the flesh and the spirit are taking place. I want to jump now into our last major area, our last major category of sinful activity. And this area of sin is one that's near and dear to my heart, because this is the area that I struggle the most. Many of you have probably heard me preach about my struggle with negative thoughts. I don't want to get into that, the specifics of that today, but rather I want to discuss this area in a little bit more general terms. So let's review some examples of negative thoughts or irrational feelings. They include things like thoughts of lust, entertaining thoughts of hurting yourself or others, repeated memories of past hurts or of your own sins, selfishness, neurotic guilt, self-pity, lack of self-worth, a sense of entitlement, a sense of disillusionment, unforgiveness, or unwilling to seek forgiveness, and of course, the kind of the catch-all, pride. Now, these sins tend to be considerably more difficult to recognize and perhaps maybe even a little bit more difficult to deal with because they're a little bit more subtle. These sins are the ones that happen in the mind, the ones that Pastor Joseph. Pastor Joseph was here a couple months ago. He preached about this when he talked about the termites that just come and eat away at our soul. Slowly but surely, these things are destroying us from the inside. It is in this place that we unravel the peace and good order that the Lord has intended for our minds, that He has intended for our lives. Our minds are not designed to be places of negative thoughts. They're not designed to be places where negative thoughts are incubated and where we permit them to grow. Our minds are designed to be places of peace, places of order, of self-control, and of love. But the enemy, see, the enemy has different plans, because the enemy is the prince of disorder. He is the prince of disarray. And so he shoots those fiery darts into our mind. And then they start to consume us. We entertain them. It's kind of like, have you ever seen those movies where, I don't know, the bad guys, whoever, shoot an arrow, a fiery arrow, they like light it, and off it goes into like a barn or into a house or something, right? And what happens? After a little while, actually a short while, you know, the barn or whatever it is totally consumed by flames, right? And the same thing happens to us. The enemy shoots a fiery dart at us into our minds, and before long, our minds are consumed by these negative thoughts. And the thing is, you know, we're not even like the barn owner, you know, where we try to at least go, you know, carry the pails of water and douse the flames. You know, we just kind of go and entertain these thoughts, and before long, our mind is just filled with fear and pride and every type of negative thought imaginable. You see, this is happening because our character is drawn to the flames like moths to a light. You know, it's like chocolate for our soul. You know, yeah, it's bad for us, but ooh, it just seems so good and it's so yummy. So let me just take some time to think about how this person wronged me, or how mad I am at this person, or how this terrible thing has happened to me, or how I deserve to be getting more credit than I'm getting, or how tough I have it, or how sad I am, or how lonely I am, or how I really want that person, or how stupid I am, or how bad I am, or how worthless I am, or how bad I feel for doing that, or how bad I feel for not doing that. You see, these are just some of hundreds of negative thoughts that come and consume our mind. And like termites, they just go and they eat away at us. But the exhortation is this: we need to resist entertaining thoughts like these, or any thought that is not edifying or encouraging. We need to resist any thought that's not edifying or encouraging. Romans 12:2 says this: "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now, I went and I did a little word study on some of the words in this passage. And so I'd like to give you the Mike Wagner loose interpretation of this verse. Do not follow and think like other people in this culture, but change your thinking through a complete renovation of your mind. Thinking now like God thinks, you will be able to know His perfect will. Now, in the coming weeks, we're going to be coming back to this verse, and we're going to be learning how to execute exactly what this verse encourages us to do. But for now, remember this. The negative thoughts we entertain are from the enemy or from our own unchanged, unconformed minds. They are not from God. I'm going to say this again. The negative thoughts are not from God. We have another $20. It is a big day for the orphanage. God will only speak to us in a way that is positive and encouraging. God will only talk to us in a way that's positive and encouraging and comforting and edifying. We'll only hear things from the Lord that will build us up. Now, why is this? Because God is in the business of building. He's not in the business of destroying. God is not a termite to destroy us and tear us down. God's like the anti-termite. You know, He wants to build us up, right? He's like an ant, right? They build stuff, right? Like, except He's a little bigger than that. Okay. So as we go and head toward our conclusion, I want to take just a second to review some of the stuff that we covered today. Last time I preached, we went over and we discussed the character of Satan, knowing who he is so that we can more effectively deal with him. This week, discussing our own character, knowing more about our own character, about our own weaknesses, so that we can also be more effective in battle. We must recognize the enemy and our sin and the foothold that has gained in our own mind. Okay, that's important. Because these things that we have entertained, that we have welcomed into our lives, they do not permit the presence of the Lord. The sins that have established in our lives, that establish a foothold in our lives, can be in the area of things like, I mentioned them already, habitual sin, destructive behavior, negative thoughts and irrational feelings. All are sinful and all reveal weaknesses in our character. Remember that our battlefield, though, where this battle is being fought, is in our mind. The armies of bondage on one side wanting to take us captive, and on the other side, the armies of freedom that want to liberate us. While these sins represent weaknesses in our character, it's important to remember that they do not speak to who we are. That issue has already been settled at the cross. However, it does speak to what we have chosen to become. And also remember that we are in good company. Apostle Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians. It's in starting in chapter 12, verse 5. I will boast about a man like that, but I will boast, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think of me. Will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul struggled with weaknesses, and so we can pretty much expect to do so as well. Although we may struggle with weaknesses in our own soul, it's important to remember this. This does not disqualify us from service in the kingdom. Hear me on this. It does not disqualify us from service in the kingdom. If it did, then I would be disqualified. We all would. And I'm not gonna take that, because that's just something from the enemy. We need not be ashamed, and we need not beat ourselves up. Because you know what? This is exactly what the enemy wants. Because if we can defeat ourselves, then we're doing the job for him. Right? So now we need to change our thinking to shift to not be beating ourselves up, but to recognizing that, hey, if we fail, then we move on. The navigators, I always like the navigators, the way they say it. If we fail, if we stumble, if we fall, we confess and press. We confess to the Lord and we press on. We keep moving. Okay? Instead, what we really need to do is we need to bring into the light that which is in the darkness. We need to fess up to our own weaknesses and allow the power of God to be a testimony in our life, like Paul did. As I mentioned, I plan to be working on at least one accountability group. I haven't figured out the particulars about this, but this will provide an opportunity for some of us who are struggling in particular areas to get together and be accountable to bring into the light that which is in the darkness. Now, as we conclude this message, we conclude the first step of escape, which is the whole information gathering. Next time, we're going to start planning our escape and start working in the planning phase. I'm going to warn you that from here on out, it starts to get hard. This is all we've just been sitting around and talking about stuff and collecting information. But now it starts getting harder. But for those of us who are courageous, for those of us who are determined, victory is very much within our grasp. Okay? Prophetic, do we have anything? No? Okay, please stand. We may wince when we come up to the altar for prayer. You may have winced a little bit today when I was talking about the sins. I winced myself. I'm going to open the altar up here in a minute. And I'll provide some folks to minister. But in general, I'm going to want you to take some time to go and do some business with the Lord yourself. See, we can come and we could have prayer for specific sins and pray over you to be delivered from a specific sin. But as I've mentioned in the past, it's not likely to happen just like that right here when you come up on an altar call. I'm more interested in a long process to help us truly break free. So I'm going to encourage you to come and or stay in your seats, it's all the same, and go before the Lord. You can go before the Lord about your sin. That's fine. But what I really want you to consider is going before the Lord about your recommitment. Your recommitment to break free of this. Your recommitment or your commitment to go through the process of purification. No matter the cost, no matter how hard the battle, are you willing to go through it in order to be free? Are you determined? Are you determined to be free no matter how hard this process gets? See, just like the prisoners, I'm always going back to this movie. Remember the movie The Great Escape? I keep going back to that when I'm thinking. Because what was the deal with these prisoners of war? These guys were all put in one camp because These guys, because they were absolutely the toughest. They kept breaking out. They couldn't keep them because they were determined to break free no matter the cost. And in that case, they were literally putting their lives on the line. But these men were determined no matter the cost. And so today then, ask yourself this question. Am I determined no matter the cost? Go ahead, Toby. The altar is open. If Peggy and Katrina and Rebecca, if you'd come forward. If you would specifically like to pray with someone, then pray with these ladies. If not, you can come forward or stay in your place. Go before the Lord. Discuss with Him your determination, your commitment to break free of the process. Because as I said, it only gets tougher from here. Okay? So go before the Lord. For those of you who have no business with the Lord, I'd be a little bit surprised. But if you don't, then you're dismissed. The sunroom is open and available for folks to just hang out. We have refreshments down there. For those of you who are new, we have refreshments. And so be blessed. You're dismissed.